from KSDP. This is Meet the People for a Monday morning. My guest this morning is Stuart Smith. Stuart is the co-author of a book entitled The Russian Bride Guide. Good morning, Stuart.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us first on the program. And so this is a very interesting book and not the norm. You say more Americans are looking to the former Soviet Union for romance and a lifelong mate. Why is this the case?
Well, you know, over the last few years, more and more men have become disappointed with the Western women that they're meeting. And men want to, if men are honest with themselves, they want to meet a woman who is feminine and not feminist. And a lot of guys are finding what they want in Russia. 4,000 visas was issued to the US last year for ladies from Russia and Ukraine. So, yeah, it's certainly a trend that's on the up.
Is it a sure thing that if you bring a woman back with you from the former Soviet Union that she will be issued a U.S. visa?
It's very seldom you get a refusal, actually. I mean, it does take about 9 months to process a visa, whether it be a K3 residence or whether it be a fiancé visa. It does take around 9 months, so they do some quite stringent checks. But really, very seldom to get refused as long as the paperwork's in order.
Now, your book talks about how you can maneuver around the scams that you'll find on the internet involving Russian brides and solicitations. What are those scams like, and how does one go about avoiding those scams?
Well, most of the scams are predictably money-based. Some of them will just be dishonest individuals in Russia. A lot of them will be men pretending to be women using stolen photographs, maybe a model or a TV star or something from Russia. And, you know, they'll enter into a communication with a guy, and then it'll end up with a request for him to send money.
Mm.
Another typical one would be there are a lot of agencies, actually the big agencies in the States also do this. They have corrupt translators in the former Soviet Union who are writing correspondence on behalf of women, and the women have no knowledge of it. You know, that's just two of I mean, there's quite a large group of things, these scams to do with gifts and all kinds of other things. Ultimately, it's just designed to take money off guys, and we try to teach guys how to avoid those situations, amongst other things.
Well, short of reading the entire book, how does a guy in the U.S. avoid such a scam, make sure that he is actually talking or communicating with someone who is legit?
Well, yeah, I mean, first and foremost, he has to try to exclude any agency he uses from the communication with the woman, and he needs to get in direct communication with her. And if he needs a translator, he should really use an independent one that he's found, rather than agency ones, you know, who may have a hidden agenda. And then, I mean, one of the services that we offer to people is that my co-author and wife, she's a qualified psychologist. Sometimes she calls women and basically just checks them out for guys, just makes sure they're on the level and, you know, gets a good impression of the motivation of the woman.
Now, you found your wife You found your wife in the former Soviet Union. What led you to look in the former Russian state for a lifelong mate?
Well, I first went there as a tourist 10 years ago, and I got off the plane and I walked around and I looked about and I thought to myself, my God, that's what women are supposed to look like. And I was so impressed, I came back home and I said to a buddy of mine, I said, you know, you won't believe these women, come and look. And 1 week later, we were both back there, and really that was the start of my... Really, I knew then that I would end up marrying a Russian girl.
So you actually went to the former Soviet Union, and you didn't just communicate over the internet. Did you have any? Did you look on the internet first, or did that kind of predate the internet dating scene?
Well, when I first went as a tourist, I mean, I was visiting for several years after that. But then later, when I decided that I actually wanted to find a wife, then I did use the internet to facilitate the introduction. Hmm. And after about 2 months of correspondence and phone calls and stuff, I got on a plane. I went to meet her for the first time. Yeah.
And how has that worked out for you?
Well, I was particularly lucky, but you know, I've had quite a lot of practice beforehand, and I'd got quite familiar with the people and the culture and what to expect just on my previous visits. So I think I was better than most people would be at weeding out insincere women. I did speak to a lot of women before I corresponded with my wife, and you know, all of them, I found them to be unsuitable in some ways.
Hmm. So would you advise a man to actually go to the location of the woman and actually meet her before inviting her to come to the United States, or is that not necessary?
It's absolutely necessary, yeah, and it's a requirement of the visa as well. I mean, if you're going to decide to marry somebody, you need to build a relationship with them the same as you would with any other woman. So you need to meet her more than once. You need to meet her several, you know, a good few times. Several times as an absolute minimum visit. I mean, as an example, my wife and I, we visited each other, either her to me or me to her, every 4 to 6 weeks for about a year until we decided to marry.
How do you, going back to the issue of vetting candidates or, you know, people you want to date, how do you weed out those women in the former Soviet Union who may have criminal histories, maybe a felony, maybe something less than that, or are drug users or have psychological issues?
Well, psychological issues, you tend to have less of it. I can't explain why, but, you know, you don't tend to find women with loads of issues and hang-ups, and very seldom you come across that. As regards a criminal background, you would expect that a woman's going to be reasonably honest about herself up front, but if she's not, that's part of the checking service that the immigration department does on the woman. And they, when the application for her visa is forwarded to her home country, then it's checked, and you know, her background is checked to make sure that she's suitable to come to the U.S.
Now, say it doesn't work out once a woman gets to the United States. She turns out to be someone who's very different from the person that she presented herself to be. Can you send her back to her country, or are there more complications to doing that than just saying, well, goodbye?
Well, there is a limited window of opportunity for that, which is on, if she comes on a fiancé visa, she has 3 months with which to marry you. If you've already married her, then, you know, then that's a whole technical and very involved legal situation. But one of the purposes of the reason we wrote the book is to get guys to do all this kind of checking and try and work out a woman's motivation and be as sure as he can possibly be before he instigates that visa procedure and then before immigration comes along.
Mm. Where would you advise guys who are interested in at least looking and meeting some of the women who are interested in marrying an American man to go in the former Soviet Union to meet single women?
Well, in terms of region, I personally tend to lean towards Russia. A lot of American guys go to Ukraine for the simple reason that you don't need a visa for Ukraine and you do need one for Russia. But if you go to Russia, really, you haven't got as much competition there. You know, there's hundreds and hundreds of guys a month landing in the big cities in Ukraine to meet women. And a lot of the women are a little bit jaded about this. If you go into Russia, you know, a foreigner is still a reasonably rare thing in some parts of Russia. So you haven't got that competition element. And there's also, I believe, to be somewhat less of a situation of corruption in Russia than there is in Ukraine.
Mm. When you arrive,
I always point people towards Russia if I can.
Yeah. And when you arrive in a country like the former Soviet Union, and you're looking for a wife, where do you go? You can't just stand on the street corner with a sign on your belly saying, yeah, I'm looking for a wife. How do you discover the women who might be available?
Well, you would have done your basic introductions over the internet and over the telephone. I mean, the general idea is that you would find yourself an honest agency, hopefully having read our book and learned how to. Find an honest agency. Facilitate contact initially through them, then remove the agency from the equation, get in direct contact with the girl, get her on email, get her on telephone, get her, you know, as much as she can, and then you would just arrange to go and meet her. Really no different in principle to going and meeting a woman in another state.
Mm.
You know, you build the initial rapport over the phone and in correspondence, and then you would get on a plane. So you will be going to, you know, to a situation that you'd already arranged.
Now, you actually manage a site that deals with people who are looking for a Russian bride. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, we have several. The main website we have is at ladagirl.com, which is ladagirl.com. From there, you can go on, you can look at... There's about 50 girls on there we've got that's available. You can go through to the sites for the book, The Russian Bride Guide. Also, you can go through, we have a big conversation forum with 650 members. Guys can go on there and they can chat with other people who's considering it. They can chat with guys that are married and they can get a better feel for the situation that way. So, yeah, ladagirl.com is a good place to start.
Now, how does your site differ from other sites that people find all over the Internet?
Well, a lot of the sites that you'll find, a lot of the agency sites that profile women, they tend to buy profiles from other agencies, and profiles get sold from website to website. This is how you can find a website that's got 2,000, 3,000, and 4,000 women. That's the reason that we have 50, because we only have women that my wife can pick up and speak to on the, you know, pick up a phone and speak to them on the telephone. And she knows 100% the girl's there, she's available, she's real. A lot of the bigger agencies, they have no such checks like that. They buy a profile, they don't know if that girl was married 3 years ago, they don't know how old those photographs are, they don't know how current that information is that they're profiling. A lot of them are just designed to be money machines, just to take money off guys.
So how do you and your wife find women to appear on your site who are looking for American men to marry?
Most of them are either women that have come via recommendations from other women, if she's done translation or something for somebody, and or three-way telephone calls. Later the girl said, well, hey, I've got a friend, maybe she can come on your site, and then, you know, they'll meet that way. There's a couple of girls on there she met in the airport in Moscow when she was going home to visit her parents. They just got chatting. Really, it's just organic like that. Hmm. That's why there isn't too many of them, because we prefer to only profile women that, you know, that we can say that we know and offer, you know, complementary services for people that are using other agencies. We offer translation and other things as well, like that.
So how does it work when someone contacts a woman on your site?
Basically, what happens is the guy sends an introductory letter all about himself to us. It gets translated and sent to the girl. If she likes what she reads, then we translate her first reply, and with that reply, we give the guy, then he gets her phone number, he gets her address, he gets all the contact information with her permission. And from that point, it's up to him then whether he uses us to facilitate further communication, or maybe the girl speaks good English, she doesn't need any help, or perhaps he's got a translator that he's found himself that he's more confident to use. But from that point, he's got that contact information and the ball's in his court.
Again, if you're just joining us here on 8:30 a.m. KSDP, I'm talking with Stuart Smith. He is co-author with his Russian wife of a book entitled Russian Bride Guide. And it's sort of become the Bible for men who are looking for a Russian bride. And you also manage the site we just were talking about. Can you give us the site address again?
At ladagirl.com, L-A-D-A, girl.com.
All right. How many emails do you get for women on your site?
Well, most of the work we do tends to be support work, tends to be translation, and I do a little bit of consultation after reading the book, and my wife does three-way telephone, stuff like that. And because we only profile about 50 women, it's not a terribly busy site, so we can keep on top of it pretty well. But we've had 4 marriages in the last 2 years, and we've got another 2 women already engaged. So that's not bad from a reasonably small pool of women, actually.
What kind of guys are looking for Russian brides? Can you typify them?
Yeah, there is a stereotypical image that people have in the head of some fat, sweaty guy sat in a basement pounding on his keyboard. And what we found, really, is that couldn't be further from the truth. Most of the guys that we've dealt with have been educated, articulate professionals. We have a client at the moment, he's a high-ranking officer in the Navy, in the U.S. Navy. We have another guy who owns a big car dealership. We have another guy in Carolina who's a lawyer. That tends to be the typical demographic for us.
Now, what about introducing the women who, the Russian bride, into the man's life? How does he do that? The woman suddenly shows up. He maybe hasn't had a girlfriend around, and then suddenly this beautiful woman shows up from Russia. How does he explain it? Do you have any advice for that?
You mean how does he explain it to his friends and colleagues?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, well, a lot of guys, you know, there is a split opinion on that. Some guys tell all the friends and the family and everything what they're doing. They go, yeah, I'm thinking of going to Russia, blah, blah, blah. And usually all the friends say, oh, my God, you're going to meet a green card girl. And sometimes they just tend to say nothing until they're actually at the point where they're putting in a visa application. And at that point, it's a done deal. So anybody's criticism can fall on deaf ears. I mean, only you know yourself what's good for you.
True. Yeah, it's hard to know how your friends and family and coworkers might react to something like this. And you're right. It probably runs the gamut of reactions that you could expect. They're all there.
It is a topic that comes up on our conversation forum quite often, actually, where the guy's gone so far down the road and then he comes along and he asks the question. He says, now I don't know how to tell my mother and my father and my sister and the guys at work. I don't know what to say to them. Now she's coming. My God, what do I do?
Yeah, it's exactly the question, yeah.
Usually you get some good advice. Everybody has to find their own way of dealing with that one. I mean, the way I personally did it, I remember I called my father. I said, by the way, I'm getting married. He said, really? I said, yeah, and she's Russian, by the way. He said, oh, okay. When do I meet her? And I thought, wow, that was easy.
Now, did you have a wedding with your... Because she hasn't have any family or friends likely who could come to the wedding. How do you handle that?
That depends on what really where you're from and if she's done any travelling before. A visitor visa to the States is quite unlikely for most women. So some guys choose to marry in Russia or in Ukraine or in her country, and other people tend to just have a small wedding in the States where, unfortunately, she has no family. What sometimes people can do is then later, when she visits home, they'll have a second celebration back in Russia with the family and perhaps a church blessing in the Orthodox Church if she's religious.
Kind of a final question. What are women who you find in Russia who are looking to marry an American man, what are they looking for?
Basically, they're just looking for a good husband who's going to be a good provider and a good father to any children that they might have. There is a lack of decent men who have good respect for women in Russia. And eventually, when a woman gets into her late 20s or early 30s, she's not found that guy in Russia, then a lot of them are then open to expanding their search abroad. Most women given a choice would prefer to stay in Russia. Really, it's a necessity thing to open your search abroad.
A worldwide search, you might say. So you're saying that most women you'll find are late 20s to early 30s.
That's when women usually begin to look abroad. If you find women in their early 20s, you'll find that they're not serious, but you can find women up to any age, really. But usually, around the 28, 29, 30 mark is when a woman will start to think, okay, I've not got a husband yet, and what's happening? And now I need to look a bit harder, now I need to expand, you know, the area where I'll search. But you'll find women in the 30s, 40s, 50s.
What kind of questions do the women ask? Do they ask, what's this place that this guy lives like? Does that ever come up?
Well, that's going to come up very early on, because if the guy's presenting himself as a potential future husband, of course she wants to know everything about his country, about his state, about, you know, his community, about his lifestyle, and yeah, really all in, you know, what's she going to actually arrive to. She doesn't want to arrive and find that she's come to a trailer park, for example. That has happened. You can expect thousands of questions about where you live.
Now, say you were presenting someone in Alaska, for example, where I live. Would that be appealing, or would they be hesitant to come to Bush, Alaska?
Well, that very much depends on where a woman's from. I mean, if a woman, if you're going to meet a woman that's from, for example, somewhere in Siberia, you know, that wouldn't be an unfamiliar environment for her. But you wouldn't really expect a girl from somewhere like Moscow or St. Petersburg to want to go to Alaska, because she's used to that kind of hustle and bustle of a big city, and she's used to having, you know, theatres and everything else right on the doorstep. She's not going to be comfortable in a small community, in small communities. But we have a couple of guys, actually, in our conversation forum that's from Alaska who are already married to girls, so it is happening up there.
So you're already working with some people in Alaska. That's interesting. Are they located in Anchorage, or are they located outside elsewhere in the state?
Well, these aren't people we've actually worked with. These are people who are on our conversation forum. One of the guys I recall is in Anchorage. The other one I don't recall. Yeah, Mike's in Anchorage. He's on our conversation forum. Both of them are married to girls already, and they have been for a couple of years. So, yeah, it's happening up there. It's happening all over the states, really.
Interesting. Again, if you're just joining us at the end of our conversation, I've been talking with Stuart Smith. Stuart and his wife have co-authored a book entitled The Russian Bride Guide, and they also operate a website. Stuart, can you just give that website out once again before the end of our program?
Lathergirl.com.
And you can find some girls who are looking for an American husband on that site, and you can go from there. Well, thank you so much, Stuart, for joining us on Meet
thank
the People today. All right.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Again, that is Stuart Smith. Actually, he is in Britain. He's back and forth between the U.S. and Britain, but he has that British accent, so it's no surprise that he is in the U.K. this morning. All right, well, that is Meet the People for this morning, Monday morning. And I'll be back tomorrow on 8:30 a.m. KSDP, Sandpoint, Alaska.